Hello, this is John Alsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. I've been listening to a podcast called Build and Analyze, I think. And you can find it on 5x5, that's the number 5, BY, the number 5, .tv, /build analyze, with a Z. And that's a weekly, it's not gadget, but, I'll read you what it says. A weekly news and discussion show about the world of iPhone, iPad, iOS, and mobile web development. It's got Marco Arment as the main guy, and he is the founder of Instapaper and the former co-founder of Tumblr. And it kind of rambles on nicely, rather in the start of this. So I, you know, you start to listen to these things, and you kind of think, well, it's not dense enough. You know, I need my information quickly. I want, you know, tell me what you want me to know and leave me alone. That's the kind of feeling you get. But I put it on while I'm cooking. So it's a bit like background radio, and I'm left with some very strong impressions, really. And one of the things, a couple of things struck me about it. The first was that they have sponsors. So it's him and Dan Benjamin. I think my feeling is that Dan is really just there to be the other voice of the conversation, but it's really Marco who's doing the imparting. I don't know, let's see what Dan Benjamin is. He is the founder of 5x5, right, so he's the kind of the interviewer, if you like. He's a hell of a developer as well, built the content management system behind sites like A List Apart. He's definitely a guy too. Anyway, the format of the show is they have some sponsors, and so they talk about what they want to talk about, and then they kind of go, well, let's just talk about one of our sponsors for now. This is it's normally a piece of software, so they don't big it up in any huge way, but they say, you know, it's great for this, it works for that, it works on all your phones, you know, it's only $9 or whatever, here's the website. And we use it all the time. It's a kind of a gentle, it's not like, the sales television channels. It's not really hyping up the product, but it is definitely there. And it's also marked clearly in the show. Now we're going to talk about one of our sponsors. And so you know that, I mean, it feels good is the thing that I'm getting to. It's effectively an ad break, but the whole feel of the show is very human, very personal. For instance, you kind of think, well, if this guy, Marco Arment, is this big dude, founder of Instapaper, former co-founder of Tumblr, you'd have thought that he would be, you know, a gazillionaire. But in truth, in the show that I just heard, whether it was orchestrated this way, whether it's designed as a front, as essentially a fiction, or whether it's true, if it's designed as a fiction, they do it very, very well. So I'm tending to think that it's completely true. I'm sure he lives in a very nice house and whatever. But he's kind of saying he works from home, and they were talking about him getting someone to help him develop the Instapaper? No, it's not the Instapaper site. Anyway, he had a website that needed developing so that he could work on other things. And so he was considering really live what kind of person he would want to work with, and so the interviewer, they ended up kind of saying, well, so if you know, refining it and deciding who they wanted, and so if you wanted that job, then you could write in. Yes, it's almost like a multicoloured swap shop, isn't it? You know, you could get in touch on Twitter or whatever. And part of that discussion was that he said that he didn't think he could afford to commit to employing somebody. So he was looking for a freelancer to start with so that he could be flexible about, you know, how things were. So he wasn't shy, really, at saying that he couldn't afford to employ one person. So I found that refreshing. And in the same way, he talked about speaking engagements and how he'd only really done 3 or 4 presentations at conferences, and that the last one he did was really bad. He felt it went badly, and then the scores that he got back were bad. And he shared all of that and how he felt about it and what he was going to do about it. And I just found that very, very, very refreshing. My kind of business I started in business, I guess, under Thatcher in the 80s, and people were starting to work from home, but that was seen to be bad. So you could buy cassette tapes of office noise to play in the background while you were on the phone, so that it felt like to the caller, to the person you were calling, you worked in a big office, and you could maintain this fiction that you worked in a big office even though you worked for yourself. And I actually called my house, which was a terraced house, 2-bedroom terraced house, Simpact House, which was the name of the company at the time, so that it would look more like a proper company. So that's how I kind of grew up, and of course I worked in PR, which is, you might say, I would disagree with you, but you know, you might say it's about creating and maintaining a fiction. So a lot of my kind of background is that, but of course on social media and on new media, you can talk on Twitter particularly, you can connect directly to people who formerly you would only ever see on TV or in magazines. They were kind of untouchable, and now you can tweet somebody and get a response from formerly untouchable famous people. And so this feels very much kind of that they've got the temperature of the current environment right. And I'm guessing, yeah, well, he's got 37,500 followers on Twitter. I'm not sure that this is telling me how many people. I don't think I can see how many people, you know, are listening to this podcast. But anyway, well, maybe on iPlayer might say. But anyway, so I commend it to you. Basically, I mainly because it's just have a think about the style of it and have a think about the way that they are using the sponsors thing in a very much more easy way. It's not like commercial radio where they are very definitely ads in the middle. 0856 etc. All that. I mean, it's very much not that. So anyway, that's that. Okay, the next thing, it's just that I've gotten into the habit when I go to YouTube, if the first thing that comes up is an ad, a 30-second ad, I'll just hit the back button and go and find one that hasn't got an ad at the front. Just that, really. I just wonder how many people do that. You know, if you're flicking through, 30 seconds is a hell of a long time to sit and wait, you know, for an ad to finish. And I really don't want ads in my head. just there you go. Next up is a bit of a session with Good Energy. I like Good Energy. Makes me feel good that the electricity I'm using comes from green sources. But they sent me a letter to say, can you read your meter, please? And then when I went to fill in the form asks for, I'll tell you, I'll bring it up. It wants a Good Energy account number. It definitely wants first name, surname and email. I don't know why it wants first name. These are required fields. First name, surname, email, postcode of the address, first line of the address. Those are required fields. Well, surely, do they really need all of that if they've got... Then we've got the meter serial number, the meter point reference number, and there's no real clue which of those, where to find those things. It's very dark and awkward in a cellar. Then there's the date of reading, and then there's the reading. And that all seemed like, you know, okay, normally you send the guy round and he reads the meter and disappears, and we're in all day, so that's fine. There was the promise that meters would be remotely read, but first of all, I think that died on cost, but secondly, there are some serious issues with that, apparently, because they're transmitting all the time, so there's some health issues with that, but anyway. The form seemed like a drag. I got to go and read the meter, and then come back and fill out the form, and then realised that it wanted to go back twice, because then it wanted the serial number. I thought it just wouldn't want the reading, but it wanted the serial number. You know, in the darkness, I've got a pen and paper and a torch, and I'm on my knees trying to work this stuff out, and it's not clear what's what. What's the meter serial number, and what's the meter point reference number? And then what got me was, fine, if you need all that, then so, you know, so be it, and I'm sure you'll pass on the savings to me of not reading them. Fine. And then there's a field here, date of reading, and it's blank. And I'm thinking, well, most people will go and read the meter and fill out the form. And so that date of reading should be today's date, and it should be pre-populated, because I've done all this work. And I had to go and look what the date was. So I'm having to minimise, I mean, on mine it's a click, and it'll tell me, and that's fine. But, you know, I've seen how ordinary people use the web, and it's a faff to work out what the date is. So, all right. You know, if you click the field, a calendar doesn't come up. You've just got to enter it. And you're not, you know, it's not telling me the format that you want it in. So there are all kinds of real kind of things about that. All I wanted, it's a very simple programmer thing, was for that field to be pre-populated with today's date. And then if I'd read it yesterday, I could just change one part of it, or at least I know what format you want it in. And so me having done all the work, for me to then find out the date and type it in seemed rude of them, because the builders are still here next door. And the way I think about it is this way. If you murder somebody, what that is you've taken all of their life away. So what if you waste 30 seconds of someone's time. You've kind of murdered them, just that little bit. They'll never get that 30 seconds back, you know. And so when you have a company like this, who perhaps just through shoddiness or essentially lack of usability, this is a story about usability, through not caring, through lack of quality control, through pressuring their software people to deliver or whatever, they didn't pre-populate this field, or they didn't feel it was a good idea, but I think it is, so they didn't pre-populate the field, so now they saved, let's say, 5 minutes of a programmer's time, but they cost every user 10 seconds, let's say. And wouldn't that, if they have thousands of people filling this form out every day, wouldn't that add up to a murder? Little smidgens of murders all add up to one big one, surely. I was looking at, Facebook's a big waste of time anyway, but if, say, Facebook did something that wasted 30 seconds of each of their users' lives, they have 800 million users, they've just wasted 532 years of human life just because they did something that took 30 seconds and wasted it for all those people. So I do take it very seriously. A website should be efficient and usable and quick, and I'm not saying I live up to that at all. That's the goal, and that's the reason that we are usable and effective, and the reason why we do those things. And that, you know, that's how I feel about this. In others, it's not quite so well consciously put together, because I'm trained in usability and so on. It translates into a subconscious feeling of, well, this is a faff, I don't want to do it, and it turns into resentment against the company. That's fuzzy resentment. Ah, good energy. What do they want now? Pain in the arse. Da-da. So it's not good for PR. It's not good for recommendation. It's a dampener all around, and it all comes down to not populating the data, the reading. So I kind of tweeted all of that in 140 characters, not really, but I tweeted about it on this feed, and I actually did it twice. One was Dear Good Energy, tag them, so they are inevitably going to see it. Dear Good Energy, if you want me to send my gas meter reading, wouldn't it be polite to default the date field to today's date hash usability, And then the second one was, so Good Energy saves the cost of filling the date field, but happy to waste 10 seconds of every user's life. Usability, rude. And I got a tweet back saying, I'm really sorry you're frustrated. Kate will be in touch tomorrow to try and sort things out. And actually she rang yesterday and was very nice. And we had a very nice conversation. I explained all of this, which obviously would have made her day. And so she thinks that she's going to pass that on to the developers, and get that sorted. And I'm just checking now; it's not sorted now. So you know whether it ends up being sorted or not, I don't know. But last week, the week before, I was trying to get through to Melbourne IT, you know, the people who register loads of domains, and I spent an hour and 15 minutes waiting in a queue of 7 people to get help. And when I spoke to the guy, he said, yeah, that all sounds interesting, I'm just going to put you on hold a second while I go and do what I'm doing, and I'll come back to you. And you know what happened, don't you? It gave me some, after a while, a couple of minutes of being on hold, it gave me a weird noise and then dropped the line. So, you know, that was Melbourne IT. I hassled them on Twitter publicly, just one tweet, and then mainly said that, you know, asked him to follow me back so we could go to direct, to kind of private messages. So we did that. And then on that, we were able to drive a solution. So there's two instances of Twitter being, because it's so public, being a great way of serving customers and a great way of getting something to move, of making your complaints effective and not being herded into the telephone system. So I will let you know if the date field gets sorted in good energy, and then we'll have changed the world for the better, and we'll have stopped murdering people. Okay, finally, infographics. This is a site called Easel, EASEL.ly, easily. And the idea is that you can create your own infographics really quickly and easily. Which is fine. So the infographics thing. The idea is that as marketers, we are, as online marketers, we're always looking for links from people to us. And, you know, back in the day, you'd go out and you'd say, can you link to me? Nobody does that anymore. Now, you aspire to be worthy of being linked to. So you want to try and create things that people want to link to. And for a moment, there was a spike of interest in infographics. And that's because the infographics that came to people's attention were exceptionally good. And so they kind of spread around, people shared them. And so that all those links, all those inbound links, obviously helped people get to the top of Google. Fine. So then marketers ruin everything, and they kind of get the rule in their head, and they go, well, we'll have, you know, how will we do this? We'll have an infographic. But the beauty of the original infographics was their clarity, and if you start to turn that into a factory and do it cheaply, you end up with things that are just pretty graphics, but they don't really make their point, and the point isn't worth making. And so, you know, fine. If you use it well, then Easel.ly is probably able to help you do some infographics. But I would say that really the infographics that are going to be shareable are ones where you've got some kind of professional communicator involved, whether that's a marketing person or a PR person, as well as a graphic design person. And then you come together to create a strong message. So it isn't just your thoughts in a pretty graph. It's a coherent message that you want to put forward. So I would say don't use Easel.ly. You know, get in touch with your favourite designer if you want some infographics and internet marketing person, and kind of, you know, I mean, obviously it's going to be thousands of times more expensive, because Easel.ly is free. It's just your time. But you know, you'll spend some time on Easel.ly and create an infographic that nobody will share, or you can spend some time putting together a professional infographic that is monstrously good, and it will share forever and bring you all the goodness that you want. So that's my advice. That's your lot for today. And I'll see you tomorrow. I've been John Alsop. This is Your Internet Marketing 5 Day. Thank you very much. Goodbye.